We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds, we are healed. We turn our attention to the Gospel of John as recorded in our worship folder as the basis of our meditation for this evening on page 6. Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. He asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate said. After he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and told them, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at the Passover. So do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you?" Then they shouted back, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a rebel. The gospel. How good have you become at detecting fake news? Certainly a subject matter that is often in the headlines, and you might not be privy to just how much fake news is actually out there and how hard there are people working out there to create artificial, unfounded stories that people will see and believe as true. It's actually exposed quite a nerve in our society recently. But 2 years ago, in March 2017, 60 Minutes ran a segment investigating the production of fake news. And that segment showed how writers design stories to look official and believable, and yet one programmer demonstrated how many likes on Facebook would drive these artificial stories into the mainstream, because people seeing all of these likes would assume if that many people are reading it, it must be true. Sadly, this is the world we live in now. Photoshop pictures, they alter reality. Breaking news from a blog maintained by a man in his basement, all by himself. What are you and I to believe? Clearly, Pilate lived in similar times and had similar attitudes towards truth, questioning what he was to believe. The time in which Pilate lived wasn't all that different from our time, really. In the Roman culture of that day, having also embraced before the Roman culture, the Greek culture, there were so many differing opinions about religion and philosophy and politics and life management that there were just as many choices in front of Pilate as you and I are dizzied by in the world in which we live today. In the end, he probably was just a Roman governor trying to do his job and keep the peace. But to do that, as our text lays out for us, he had to find the truth on this particular day when Jesus was standing in front of him. And who could he turn to for the truth? Who was telling the truth? Was it the Jewish leaders that had brought Jesus before him? Was it Jesus himself? And what is this business of a kingdom of truth that Jesus was talking about? In response to that, Pilate spoke those famous three words. A question, really. What is truth? But that question wasn't prompted by the situation in Jerusalem on that Friday morning. It was prompted throughout time from the very first sin. As soon as Satan lies had taken hold and started to twist the understanding of human beings about their God and their world and themselves, those questions really spring from emptiness, fear, the doubts inside of every human being. So many people claim to be right. So many people claim to be the only ones who are right. And so many warn about not being right, that you and I want to get it right. And we find ourselves wondering, what is truth? Or maybe putting it even more bluntly, we actually are led to wonder, do we Christians have it right? And it's important to know for sure. After all, eternity is a long, long time. What is truth? You and I want to know for certain, too. And even though Jesus didn't directly answer Pilate's question here in these verses, this text does provide many of the answers that we're looking for. And so the first answer let's look at is this simple truth. Jesus wasn't who they expected him to be, who they wanted him to be. When you think about it, the arrest and the trials of Jesus weren't really so much about what he had done or didn't do, but what he said he was. The opposition to Jesus started long before the day of this trial. Very early in John's gospel, he tells us about an episode in which Jesus was almost stoned to death. Nobody actually threw a stone. He stopped it from happening. But they had lifted the stones and were ready to throw them because Jesus actually had the gall to say, "Before Abraham was, I am." They claimed that to be blasphemy. Now here at this trial in front of Caiaphas, they tried to pin him as guilty in regard to things that he had threatened to do. For instance, he had said he would tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. But all of those types of approaches that they took really fell flat. And Caiaphas understood as the judge of this trial that none of that was going to stick. And so we have to credit him with his ability to see through all of the smoke and the mirrors and get right to the heart of the matter. Only problem is Caiaphas, he broke some of the rules that judges are never supposed to violate. Even in the ancient court of Jewish law, you were not allowed to force the defendant to answer questions about himself, especially not questions asked by a judge. But Caiaphas, as the judge in this case, goes right ahead, and he actually asks Jesus under oath, "Are you in fact the Son of the Blessed One? Tell us." And because the high priest had invoked God's name in the question itself, Jesus was required to give him an answer, the truth. And he simply said, "Yes, it is as you say." But naturally, the Jewish authorities were not going to bring this as the charge when they brought Jesus along to Pilate. Pilate wasn't interested in any way in blasphemy, and the fact that the Jews felt blasphemy was a capital crime. So they changed the accusation to a political problem. They told Pilate, "He is claiming to be a king. He is opposing the paying of taxes to Caesar." Something Pilate could understand and be concerned about. But when Pilate looked at Jesus, beaten, bloody, bound and bruised, humiliated, and yet quiet and at peace, none of this seemed to add up. He had a very hard time believing that Jesus was actually a king. He actually asks him in so many words, almost with a lilt in his voice, "You're a king? Really?" Pilate and Jesus' accusers had this in common. Jesus was not at all who they expected him to be, who they wanted him to be. For Pilate, it would have been a whole lot easier if Jesus actually had been the rebel that the Jewish leaders were claiming he was, so that Pilate could just sentence Jesus to death and have that execution carried out without a single qualm of conscience. But there was something not right about this situation. It bothered Pilate. It clearly also bothered Pilate's wife, and she sent him a note telling him so. He was troubled by all of this, and in the end, none of it really mattered. He silenced his conscience. He did the Roman thing. He became practical and pragmatic and blamed it on the Jews, washed his hands of the whole situation, and signed the death warrant for Jesus. And so we don't know, really, what his motivation was or what his intent was placing that sign above Jesus on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Was it one last jab at the Jewish leaders? Or was it actually a joke at Jesus' expense? As far as the Jewish people calling for Jesus' death and Barabbas' release in the last portion of these verses, it's truly a sad scene, isn't it? Remember how the Gospel of John began? In the first chapter, we're told, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. During his earthly ministry, many, many times, Jesus warned those who listened to him, those who opposed him, even his disciples who followed him throughout, that he was not the kind of king that they were looking for. He was not going to be setting up an earthly kingdom. He was not going to be restoring the throne of David. He was not going to be answering their earthly needs and desires. And you think about it, he even rejected any possibility of that kind of kingdom during those very profound 3 temptations that he experienced at the hand of Satan after being hungry in the wilderness for 40 days. He told Satan in so many words, when Satan offered him all the riches and the wealth and the power of the world, my kingdom is not of this world. Similar to what he says here to Pilate. Many Jews were looking for a political king that would somehow restore the glory of David's nation. And some were looking for a high priest type king that would cleanse their temple and rededicate their worship and lead them by teaching righteousness. But a simple carpenter's son from Nazareth? Now, he didn't look like much of a king, and not certainly the kind of king they wanted. And that led them to pretty much doubt in every way you could that he couldn't possibly be who he claimed to be. And so also today, many people want Jesus to be something else than he clearly is, something else than what the Scriptures present him to be. One international rock star who claims to be a devout, serious Christian has said very publicly, my Jesus is the one who drove the money changers out of the temple. So Jesus, the social reformer. Jesus, the activist for justice. You know that other people try to turn Jesus into a financial planner. Some people actually would like Jesus to run the government. Others simply want to offer Jesus as a good teacher, a moral man who was all about leading us to be good and to do good to others so that our world might be better every day and find its way to peace. And there are even modern theologians who are very open to the idea, they'll tell you so in so many words, to the possibility that Jesus might have actually been the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier, and that wouldn't bother them a bit, because that would just make him all the more human, more like you and me. We can understand someone like that. But what is the truth? What is the scriptural truth? What does Jesus actually say about himself? Well, again, let's harvest truth from these very verses. Another truth to focus on would simply be that Jesus is, thank God, who he claims to be. The world in which you and I live today People have the tendency of making up their own truth, deciding what truth is going to be for them, and many don't even care whether or not anybody else agrees with them on truth or what they believe. They basically say, this is what I believe, it works for me, and so that's good enough. But when this man was standing in front of Pilate, he was something far more than just true and truthful. He was the one who had said to his disciples just hours earlier in that upper room, I am the way and the truth and the life. Back to John's first chapter of his gospel again. Regardless of what anybody might believe about Jesus, we're told there that he came from the Father full of grace and truth. And this word, his word, the Bible, this is truth too, given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God gave it to us because from the very beginning, God knew from the first proclamation of his gospel that Satan would continue to twist it and tell his lies and take things sideways in ways that human beings would misunderstand. That's the reason why he had to make the promise in the first place, was the devil came with his lies and confused Adam and Eve and led them in a direction God never intended them to go. And every single day since that, Satan has been lying. It's his weapon of choice. Satan is the great deceiver. Satan is the great word twister, the great half-truth teller, the great photoshopper, the great fake news producer. That's how he fights. He fights dirty and he fights with dirty lies. But just as Jesus fought back against the devil, not just in the desert that day, but every other day of his life, using the word, specific promises of God spoken in his word straight back at Satan, he has left that word for you and me to know and learn and trust, to speak those very same promises of God against every one of Satan's lies. And Jesus tells us when we continue in the word, when we use the word in that way, though, the word becomes for us in every way the truth that sets us free. The truth is that Jesus of Nazareth is exactly who he claims to be. He told Pilate in so many words that he was a king, that he had a kingdom from another place, a kingdom that operates in a completely different way than any earthly kingdom, certainly any Roman kingdom. He tells Pilate his kingdom is a kingdom of truth. He had very recently said to his disciples that in his kingdom the first would be last and the least would be the greatest. The greatest would be the servant of all. So let's think on that truth. Jesus made himself the very last. Jesus made himself the very least, not just in the washing of the disciples' feet on the night before he died, but in every last selfless drop of energy and blood and intention that he engaged all of our sins and all of our brokenness, all of our disease, taking it upon himself, placing himself beneath it, humbly. It's because of another truth. That God became a man in Jesus, took the very nature of a servant. Jesus perfectly obeyed every demand of his Father. Every demand that his Father has ever made of any one of us, but every demand his Father also made particularly of him in regard to the mission that he had to carry out for the payment of the sins of the world. Truth. Jesus did this to be our substitute. And all of those truths put together lay out God's plan that leads us to so many other scriptural truths. Say, for instance, from Romans, where we're told the wages of sin is death. We know that everyone sinned Truth. Sin must be punished by a just and holy God. Truth. Jesus took our sins upon himself and offered to suffer our punishment, not only to be rejected by people, but even forsaken by his own Father as he hung in agony on the cross. Truth. We should have suffered for all eternity because of our guilt. Truth. He poured out his holy blood for the forgiveness of every last one of our sins. So here is truth. We don't need Jesus to be our financial planner. We don't need Jesus to bring about social justice among us. We don't need a nice guy friend in Jesus who will help us feel good about ourselves. We need a Jesus who can stand in the breach, rescue us from sin, death, and hell. Otherwise, every last one of us is lost, as every other human being that has ever lived is lost. We need Jesus standing in Pilate's hall. We need Jesus to experience that pain of suffering, a crown of thorns, 40 lashes, all the other agony and bitterness and pain, abandonment, suffering. We need a Savior who rescues us from God's coming wrath. The crowds, they would choose Barabbas. But Jesus would go on from that moment to do exactly what he had come to do. The whole reason he had taken on a human nature and become one of us. Save people from their sins. Pilate just couldn't believe it. The crowds clearly rejected Jesus. The religious leaders did not want him to be the kind of king, the kind of Messiah that he presented himself to be. But with the eyes of faith, by God's gracious planning, through the guidance of his Spirit, you and I see in this Jesus standing in Pilate's hall, the King of Kings, who rules a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom of truth in which his people hear his voice. Listen to that voice. Follow him and trust him for their salvation. So listen. Listen for the King of Truth who cannot lie. The King of Truth who promises you, whoever believes shall never perish, shall have eternal life. Amen.